This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
St. Paul famously wrote, "When I was a child, I spoke, I thought, I reasoned, and I acted like a child." Well, that's just the way things are. When children are children, we expect them to behave like children. But he says, "When I became a man, I put away childish things." Putting away childish things means a lot of different parts of your life will change. Now, the things that entertain children, and children are easily entertained. The church has decided that the best way to do youth ministry nowadays is to keep them entertained. It's all about the fun. Sometimes in the extreme. Join us to talk about entertainment-driven youth ministry, Dr. Gene Edward Veith. He's provost and professor of literature at Patrick Henry College in Purcellville, Virginia. He's author of several books, including The Spirituality of the Cross, The Way of the First Evangelicals, and he's also written a recent article for World Magazine titled Stupid Church Tricks. Dr. Veith, welcome back.
Good to be with you again.
What are you talking about when you describe stupid church tricks? Without some of the grosser elements included in your article, what kind of stuff is passing for youth ministry nowadays?
Well, the occasion of this piece was something, and I wrote it several years ago. There was a lawsuit about parents suing a ministry. They were doing a fun activity involving, well, he said he didn't want me to get into the gross stuff, but suffice it to say that it was a very gross thing involving eating disgusting things, spitting it out, and making the rest of the group eat it too, and kid got sick, so the parents sued. But the idea is, kids love bodily functions and silly icebreakers and crude behavior and the like. And so there's a whole series I learned as I dug into this about fun activities to do that are sort of gross and or playing Nerf ball in the sanctuary and putting minnows in the baptistry and other kind of irreverent things. That the idea is, do things that will really not just entertain kids, but do things that will make them feel like part of the group, get them to lose their inhibitions, loosen up, do kind of wild things. And even if it isn't wild, the idea is we'll get them to trust each other by various exercises and get in touch with their feelings and so on. And this has become just a popular, maybe not to the extreme of some of the things I wrote about in that article, but that's become kind of a staple of youth ministry.
What is behind it? What notion of ministry, what notion of our youth are at work when the church says, essentially, we're just going to do stupid stuff with them, and we'll call it icebreakers or team-building exercises, and it'll all fly under the flag of youth ministry?
Well, I mean, a couple things. One thing is what it is not. It is not catechizing. It is not studying the Bible. It is not helping them to grow in their faith. The goal, I think, is to, get them relaxed about church, get them to associate church with fun instead of something boring or whatever. But, I mean, what it really does, I think, is kind of the reverse of what maybe is intended. A lot of these exercises teach them to lose their inhibitions, by doing something embarrassing or something uncomfortable. But the idea is it's very funny, and it's good for them to loosen up and lose their inhibitions. Whereas I would argue that one of the things that teenagers especially need to cultivate is to respect their inhibitions and to build on their inhibitions so that they're ashamed to do certain things. That's an important gift of God, that sense of embarrassment, and it shouldn't be broken down. The culture will break that down for them. And it also teaches to give in to peer pressure. Doing something that makes them feel uncomfortable, mainly what gets them to do it? Well, because all their friends are doing it, and they feel a great pressure to give in and to do that. Now, some people say, well, this makes them one with a group and creates a sense of group unity. But it teaches giving in to peer pressure. And again, what teenagers need to learn is learn how to resist peer pressure, because most of their peers are going to pressure them to do things that they really shouldn't do.
You say that it also teaches them that Christianity is stupid.
Well, it does. It does. When they associate the church with silly little childish things when they grow up, and again, in teenagers, they're already starting to put away childish things. They have a foot in both worlds. They're part child, part adult. When they grow a little bit later, when they associate Christianity with all of these, you know, silly, touchy-feely, embarrassing things, then that teaches them that Christianity is childish. And one of the big problems is that young people, as they get older, associate their faith with, oh, that was just when I was a little kid. Now I'm an adult. Now I'm sophisticated. And they put away the church, and they think Christianity is unsophisticated and the like. And again, the church has to resist that, not reinforce it.
So the very things that, if it were, say, the kids in high school trying to get our 14-year-old prospect here to try his first beer, right, at a party,
mm-hmm.
the
mm-hmm.
very things that would work perfectly in that situation to accomplish that goal, lose your inhibitions, succumb to peer pressure, those are the very things that are being taught by kind of the stupid church trick youth ministry.
Well, that's really right. And that's the opposite of what they need to be teaching.
I wonder whether it also severely underestimates youth. Youth, but my sense is that especially today's youth, so over-marketed to their entire lives, pretty much see through the trickery. What do you think that to be?
Well, they do. They do. A lot of these things are so condescending and so assuming that, well, you know, they're not capable of anything serious or any substantive thinking, or they're so shallow that they have no spiritual depth or no spiritual. And that is so untrue. And what you have to do in working with youth or really any kind of real education is to call them up, to take them to the next higher level, rather than to help them kind of wallow in their immaturity. And especially teenagers, they do see through that. I mean, there's nothing less cool than an adult or a youth group leader trying to be cool. And so much of the curriculum and the activities is sort of geared in that way. But actually, young people want something that's real. There's a lot of evidence to show that because, right, everybody's trying to sell them something. You know, they're consumers. Everybody's trying to manipulate them, and some of them feel that you know, not everything is fake and everything is phony, and the church is fake and phony too. They get that impression, whereas what they want is something real, and Christianity gives what's real, and addresses a person of any age at their depths and at their points of need, and to trivialize that is to insult and project a lower view of the students that you're claiming, and the young people you're claiming to minister to.
We're talking about entertainment-driven youth ministry. Dr. Gene Edward Veith is our guest. He's provost and professor of literature at Patrick Henley College in Purcellville, Virginia, author of several books, including, it's a great book, Spirituality of the Cross, The Way of the First Evangelicals. He's also written a recent article for World Magazine titled Stupid Church Tricks. Now, I want to hear from you. Oh, by the way, you can read that article at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. It's Wednesday afternoon, the 25th of August. I do want to hear from you about entertainment-driven youth ministry, your experiences, your past experiences with it, your thoughts, your questions, and your comments on this Wednesday afternoon. You can leave them at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesETC. You can send us a tweet at issuesETC or an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or just give us a call. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Dr. Gene Edward Veith is our guest. We're talking about entertainment-driven youth ministry. One of our guests on this program might be Pastor Bill Swirla, could be someone else, once said, "We need to give our youth something to grow into rather than out of." And it seems as though entertainment-driven youth ministry is all about giving them something that they will eventually have to grow out of, although one wonders what the future of the church looks like if these youth stick around in spite of all the trickery and never outgrow this stuff. 1-877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc or our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. You'll find the reformer Martin Luther's thoughts on Jesus' high priestly prayer and the passion and resurrection according to John in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August, Luther's Works, Volume 69. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Luther's Works, Volume 69, by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Luther's Works, Volume 69, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August.
Have you ever wanted to know about the origins of Issues Etc.? Did you know church leaders were opposed to teaching the laity Reformation theology? Check out our new YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology, issuesetc.org, and click support. Equipping the priesthood of all believers. Watch the short YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology, today. Just go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org.
Talk radio for recovering evangelicals. You're listening to Issues Etc.
What are Catholic universities teaching?
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Ann Hendershot, a Catholic author, recently published an article in World Magazine examining the voting record of national leaders who graduated from Catholic universities. In 2009, 30 graduates in the U.S. House of Representatives voted for pro-abortion legislation, while only 18 voted pro-life. The record in the Senate was even worse, with only 2 of 12 graduates of Catholic universities voting pro-life. While Catholics pioneered the pro-life movement and guided at the grassroots level, this reveals a disturbing discrepancy between what the Catholic Church believes and what Catholic universities teach.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
You had to be a big shot, didn't you? All your friends were so knocked out. You had to have the last word last night. You know
what everything's about. You had to have a white hot spotlight. You had to be a big shot.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about entertainment-driven youth ministry. Dr. Gene Edward Veith is our guest. We're coming to you live this Wednesday afternoon, August the 25th. Your thoughts on entertainment-driven youth ministry? I invite them, 1-877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc or leave your thoughts and comments at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. From Facebook, Dr. Veith, Susan in Naperville, Illinois. What a missed opportunity. These same kids are learning advanced chemistry, geometry, foreign languages, etc. in high school. They're not stupid. A youth leader doesn't have to call it theology class and make them sit at desks, but it seems like they could do a little more catechesis, that is, teaching, and challenge them a bit. Your thoughts?
Well, that's absolutely right. Again, our young people aren't stupid. They're not shallow. They're not trivial. The need is to address them, in their depths, and to make Christianity, stupid and trivial, just doesn't do what we want it to do. Young people are capable of a lot more than we give them credit for, and both educationally and in Christian education. I think instead of dumbing it down and saying that, in effect, they are dumb, which is very insulting, it's a much better idea to introduce them just to the richness of the Christian faith, something that will stand strong for them at every stage of their lives and for the rest of their lives.
Matt in Seward, Nebraska, emails us with a good question. He says, how do we balance the very serious matters of the Christian faith, Christian doctrine, with fun youth activities that build relationships?
Well, it's just like a church, just like with adults. And in the church, when you're active in the church, you get to know people, your fellow Christians, and work through them through their crises and their needs, and also to have fun together and to laugh and joke and to enjoy each other's company. But again, what brings us together, the point of unity, is not just artificial games and activities, but really the common Christian life that we're living. It's joining together with people in the liturgy, joining together, having the most intimate fellowship with our fellow Christians by taking the Lord's Supper together. Those are the things that are real and that build a real unity, not everybody sitting around brushing their teeth with the same toothbrush.
Have we seen, in a sense, the fruit of what happens, and I'm talking here kind of in the broad swath of pop American evangelicalism, what happens when churches as a whole congregations, kind of write youth ministry large and in a sense, don't grow out of this stuff? They may not be as silly or as gross as the things we're talking about, but have we seen this, where churches essentially become youth ministry for adults?
Well, I think so. I mean, for example, the songs, the songs one sings. I mean, when you're out at church camp and sitting around the campfire, you sing some fun and formal songs to the guitar. But now there's the impulse that you have to sing those same songs in worship. And again, they're two different things. They're two different realms, two different even uses of music. But I think that the youth group mentality is something that you see in a lot of congregations as a whole. Churches start to look at their adult members as similarly ignorant and incapable, and they can't understand theology. So we will use, entertainment, evangelism, and entertaining worship, and the like, which again can have some of the same effect on adults. I think one of the factors in youth ministry, especially, is the sense that church is about relationships with other people. Primarily, and you see that in some congregations too. that the main focus is on getting to know each other, feeling close to each other, having things in common with each other, and building that group unity. Whereas, you know, the alternative is saying that church is about Christ and putting Christ foremost and letting the unity sort of develop through our common relationship with Christ. I think that's going to be stronger, even forming stronger human interactions. But again, that idea of the horizontal relationships being the main thing that you want to build, being the real focus of the ministry, as opposed to the vertical relationship as being the end-all and be-all of everything else.
Via Facebook, Joy writes this. Dr. Veith is spot on, speaking about your article in World Magazine. She says, I have bad memories of being pressured to do things mm-hmm. I didn't want to do for youth group,
yeah.
and it wasn't the kids pressuring, it was the pastor's wife.
Uh-huh. You know, kids, and I should call them kids, teenagers, are very self-conscious, and they're very sensitive about how they are being seen and what they do and so on. And I think that needs to be respected and built upon. I think that's a good thing. But all of this effort to break down those inhibitions. There's another issue here, too. There's a recent book out about how Christianity has abandoned introverts. So much of what goes on in the church is designed for extroverts, people with a personality to be very outgoing, very friendly, and very expressive, whereas a big part of the population is private and feels uncomfortable with a lot of that sharing your inmost secrets with the group and the like. And the introverts often are the ones who feel very uncomfortable in, especially contemporary churches. In fact, this book said that the liturgy is an easier way for introverts to participate in church rather than the highly emotional kind of individual exposing that happens in other approaches. But anyway, a lot of young people are introvert, and they just hate youth group. I've talked to many of them here at the college. I have all these bad memories of youth group. And their youth groups aren't necessarily as ridiculous as the ones I write about in that article, but they're just not built around sensitive, private kind of people. But they need to be reached and ministered to also. And I think it can be done in if we're just sensitive to all of the students that we have, not just a few of the louder ones, and trying to cater everything to them.
Helen in Austin, Texas, emails us. She says, last Sunday, our youth told the adults about their trip to Higher Things. That's a youth organization, a Lutheran youth mm-hmm. organization that we greatly admire here at Issues,
yeah.
et cetera. They believe that when you play, you play. When you work. And when you worship. They don't try to
yeah.
mix the three. And Helen says, they said that what Dr. Veith did, that Higher Things helped them reach up and grow, while other
wow.
programs seemed to talk down to the kids. They were talking about the National Youth Gathering of the Lutheran Church
mm-hmm.
Missouri Synod. She says, my own opinion is that many of our church, quote-unquote, youth leaders are arrested in their own development. They are planning silly things because they can't reach any higher than that.
Well, okay, I don't know about that. I do know the Higher Things is a great example, I think, of doing it right, of instead of, you know, this very condescending, trivializing approach to trying to reach young people, Higher Things really does bring them up into higher things. And to see how students respond to that, to see how young people appreciate being respected enough to be taken seriously and to be given a serious but very beautiful and moving approach to catechesis and to worship. Higher Things, I think, is doing it right.
Let's get a quick call from Joe in St. Louis, and we'll take a response on the other side of the break. Joe, welcome.
Hi, Todd. I'm hearing an underlying premise that we're trying to elicit some response from the youth, that people are trying to draw out, you know, either an emotional response or even a spiritual response, instead of preaching a consistent message of law and gospel, mm-hmm. and letting the response be what the Spirit produces. The people want to see, you know, an introvert become an extrovert and an extrovert become an introvert or something, or see people be entertained, somehow get a response from the people, as if that's our job to do that.
Joe, thank you very much for listening in St. Louis. When we come back, Dr. Gene Edward Veith will respond to Joe's call and more of your email, your comments from Facebook as well. 1-877-623-6943, facebook.com/issuesetc. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Are you looking for a church where you can receive the gifts of God in the gospel and the sacraments and in the church's historic worship with lively music? Then come to Hope Lutheran Church in South St. Louis. We're located on the corner of Brannan and Neosho Streets at 5218 Neosho. You can also reach us on the World Wide Web at www.hopelutheranstl.org and give us a call at 314-352-0014. There is hope in St. Louis.
Historic, authentic Christian radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
The CLCC has produced a new seminar to help people understand the structure of LCMS churches. So many people today are unaware of their church polity. This seminar can be downloaded for free from the CLCC website, www.theclcc.org. This is available for a seminar, a self-study, or presentations. And think about joining us. Members can download the PowerPoint version for free. Visit us today at www.theclcc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. 10 more minutes with Dr. Gene Edward Veith on entertainment-driven youth ministry on this Wednesday afternoon, August the 25th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Joe called before the break, and he said it seems as though a lot of this entertainment-driven youth ministry is designed to elicit a response rather than simply kind of do the objective job of teaching, presenting God's Word in a way that is winsome and appropriate to the age, and simply trust God's Word to do what it does. Your thoughts?
Well, yeah, he's got a good point. I think he's saying, too, that maybe, you know, more orthodox ways of doing it is also geared to making a response. But we need to remember that it really is God's Word that is the important. Proclaim law and gospel to these young people, you know, where they are in their lives, and God will work in them. He's right. He's right. And again, in the stupid church tricks that I write about, there was no proclamation of God's word, no connecting of it to any larger point. It's just a fun activity. But, you know, again, Joe makes a very good point. I do think that we shouldn't just think that we can engineer a response, because that's going to become manipulative, you know, no matter which angle we take, apart from God's word doing it. I think young people do need to be ministered to. They're under incredible pressure. They're under incredible temptations. And the fact is they are leaving the church in droves. And obviously the approach to youth ministry that's been dominant for the last couple decades is not working. And so we need to face up to that and to give young people who are baptized children of God and members of the church to make them a part of the church and to help them grow in their faith in, again, the only way that can happen, through the Word of God.
Steve in Minnesota says, I wonder how many of these kids expect the football coach to play silly games with them before practice to make them receptive to the playbook. How many need an icebreaker before driver's ed? What a missed opportunity to give these kids the training needed to face a world that will take no prisoners. They are deprived of the skills and knowledge that will keep them firmly grounded when the going gets really rough in life, or the questions come at them from serious thinking or hurting friends. Lambs to the slaughter, says Steve in Minnesota. Your reaction?
Wow, put very well. Again, the Christian life is even more strenuous and is more at stake than football. And again, it ought to be taken at least with that much seriousness.
Keith in Joliet, Illinois says, sometimes the fun and games are good, and then sometimes you wonder what they were smoking when they dreamt it up. I like Dr. Veith and respect his work, but he is picking on the easy targets. There are times when a silly game does work at the opening, that opening a door for a deeper conversation, but you pick the game for the topic, not the topic for the game. I did a track and field type jumping contest with confirmands as a lead into a discussion for how it is impossible for us to cross the gulf of our sin. I gave them physical evidence they couldn't, and it worked. I agree, though, those who have to shock don't have a lot of substance to build on. Your thoughts?
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't think what he described, something that ties directly into a scriptural truth, an activity like that is not a stupid church trick to show them that they can't, you know, jump over the a gulf, something that ties right into a teaching about sin. That's not at all what I'm talking about. You didn't want me to talk about the gross things, but I'm talking about an activity where girls put a diaper on a guy, then feed him a bottle of soda and cradle him until he burps. Okay, that's one. Or sanctuary softball, where you're whacking a Nerf ball in church, and home plate is the altar, and you run through the pews, and you throw the ball at the runner trying to get him out. Again, the one teaches a kind of a weird, unintentionally, teaches a kind of a weird, perverse, the sexual undertone, and the other teaches being irreverent in God's house. And again, a lot of these have unintended meanings, and they teach something that is not intended. That the intention may be just to, you know, loosen them up and start with a fun activity and build up the group, and then we'll get to something serious. But I'm just saying that youth leaders have to look at what the activity itself is teaching, which may well go and undercut the larger purpose. I mean, what he's describing, a fun activity that does tie into the teaching that he wants to do, that's not what I'm talking about at all. And I don't see a problem with that.
You mentioned before, and I think this bears repeating, that this has been tried now this coincides nicely with my youth, I think. I left youth group because it was just so very shallow and went to adult Bible class when I was about 15 and stayed there ever since. We're talking 30 going on 40 years now of these attempts to turn youth group to trivialize Christianity in youth group. You say it's not working. What do you think will, in the long run, perhaps not in the short run, but in the long run, retain these young people as adults in the Christian faith?
Well, I think we need to do a better job of catechesis. Even the way many, you know, good faithful churches do, it's just a matter of memorizing things and getting confirmed, and then that's their graduation from Christianity. Whereas real catechesis does involve memorizing things, but it also involves thinking through deeply, what does this mean in the words of the catechism? And I think that that we need to do a much better job with that, to take it deeper and to reach what the struggles and the temptations and the feelings that young people are going through at that stage, instead of just ignoring them and making them go through a rote process. I think catechesis needs to be better. I think we need to teach our young people about worship and what the sacraments are, and to really cultivate that and really make them part of the real church. Okay, you went to an adult Bible study when you were 15. I think that's very good. And you know, the way we segregate our members by age, which is a very artificial kind of thing to do, I think if a teenager felt that he was really considered an adult and welcomed into the adult world and started doing things with other adults, not just Bible study, but the work of the adults in the church, I think that would be a way to really make that young person feel a part of the church in a way that could be very genuine and lasting, instead of continuing to make them sit at the kiddie table. I think accepting them as adult members might do a lot.
Folks, you can purchase Dr. Gene Edward Veith's book, The Spirituality of the Cross, and I recommend this book to everyone, The Spirituality of the Cross. Simply call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy at cph.org. Dr. Gene Edward Veith is Provost and Professor of Literature at Patrick Henry College in Purcellville, Virginia. He's author of several books, including The Spirituality of the Cross, The Way of the First Evangelicals, and he's also written a recent article for World Magazine titled Stupid Church Tricks. Dr. Veith, thank you.
My pleasure.
Folks, Thrivent Financial for Lutherans has a new program, and I want you to know about it because it bears upon your support of Issues, etc. It's called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice lets you help choose where some of Thrivent's charitable outreach dollars go. Now, there are two aspects of Thrivent Choice: choice dollars and voting events. Now, for more information on these two aspects and on Thrivent Choice, visit our website, issuesetc.org, click Donate, and there at the Donate page, you will find the logo for Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Click on that. There's all the information you need. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. through Thrivent Choice. issuesetc.org, click Donate, and find the Thrivent Financial for Lutherans logo. Tomorrow on Issues, etc., we'll talk to St. Louis Post Dispatch columnist Colleen Carroll Campbell about the pro-choice response to a new ultrasound-informed consent bill in Missouri. Something to grow into rather than out of. Yes, it's true. Children are children, and when I was a child, and then I became a man, and I outgrew childish ways. Do we encourage them to revel, especially the youth who are halfway between the children and the adults? Do we encourage them to revel in the most childish of their impulses and call it Christianity? Or do we say, come up here, become adults, enter the world of adult Christians with and the world of the church. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.